I'm very fortunate because I came from a very artistic background. My mother and father were both writers. Dad was a piano and singing teacher. Mum was a speech and drama teacher. So the whole house was full of music and poetry. Also, when I was 15, I fell in love with Dylan Thomas. He had a great influence. You know, he really started me off, as well as the beat poets in the 60s, Allen Ginsberg, Corso, all those, and music, Bob Dylan, Donovan, incredible influence in my life, Pink Floyd. So I started to write poetry from the age of 15, and I had my first poem published by a fairly prestigious, it was the most prestigious poetry journal in Australia at the time, called Poetry Australia. Had a poem published there when I was 19. I was the happiest girl in the world, and from then on I've been writing and having work published ever since in literary journals, newspapers, anthologies throughout Australia and overseas, and I've had 4 collections of poetry published.
Yeah, what sort of themes do you pursue in your poetry?
I really have to feel quite strongly about my subject material. I write exactly what I want to write about, so I feel that's quite an indulgence if people out there are interested in my work, and they seem to be, because I suppose a lot of the subjects are fairly accessible. The collections, the first one I wrote was about my emotional ties with birds. That was called Singing in the Grain. The second collection was about my mother dying in hospital. That's just a small collection called Now My Mother Has Become. That was a cathartic journey for me. Then I spent 2 years researching Walt Whitman's life during the American Civil War. He was a wound dresser in the Washington hospitals. Absolutely fascinating. And I learnt so much about Walt Whitman, and that's a big collection called Under the One Granite Roof, Poems for Walt Whitman. My most recent collection that I'm working on, that I won the Dorothy Hewitt Flagship Fellowship Award, which has allowed me to come here, is titled From a Glass Kennel, which will consist of about 80 poems, and that all relates to mental illness. And a small collection was published recently for the Sydney Writers' Festival. 16 of those poems have been taken from the major collection, and that title is called Doctor Says.
How do you feel about delivering your poems in public?
I've had a little bit of difficulty with Dr. Says because it's based on a personal experience of mine. When I was 19, my parents put me in a mental institution and I was there for 11 months. So I found that very difficult. It was a private thing and I wasn't sure how people would react to me. But they have been incredible. My audiences come up and usually say, I have someone in my family that has a mental illness, or I myself have, you know, depression or whatever. So that's been quite an awakening for me.
Yeah, I suppose death also is quite a taboo subject, isn't it?
Yes.
It's something that's shut away in our society.
And yet I do believe poets love writing about it. With my mother,
love and death, yeah.
With My Mother Has Become, it took me a good year after that was published to be able to actually get up and read the poems, because I used to find that I'd have a bit of a cry. But now I can emotionally remove myself from those poems now and just perform them, and people really enjoy them.
I can imagine that being in Scotland, although the language is apparently the same, you might find it, you know, I think there's a thing said about America separated by the same language, about Britain and America. Do you feel that sense of separation?
Yeah, I'm surprised that I am finding it a little bit difficult to understand some people, and vice versa. You know, I went into a shop the other day and asked for some black pens and he gave me a packet of drawing pins. That was just beautiful. I really don't know a lot about Scottish contemporary writers, so this is very exciting for me to be here and to be browsing through bookshops and starting to learn the language of poetry in a contemporary style. Of course, I know all about the older writers.
Yes, have you been along to the Poetry Library here?
Not yet, but I've been to just about everything else you can think of in 9 days, and I did see the Writers' Museum yesterday, and I actually stroked Robert Louis Stevenson's wardrobe.
A lot of people feel drawn to stroke.
Oh, Robert I couldn't Stevenson. Help it.
There's a sensuality about Stevenson,
yes,
isn't there, that yes. goes right across time, and it seems yeah. fairly contemporary as well.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Yeah. Fascinating man.
Yeah. Well, Whitman obviously fascinated you, and you said that you did a lot of research.
Yes.
How did you do that research?
Well, at the time I was working for Australian Red Cross, and I still work for them a couple of days a week, and we have this lovely old bookshop where people can come and buy books for next to nothing. Every day on my way to work, I would look in this bookshop. And one day there was an old National Geographic magazine and there was an article about Walt Whitman. And I thought, well, I should really read that because I did struggle with Walt Whitman when I was at school. I found him really long-winded. And I thought, I should find out a little bit about this man. Took the book home, bought it for 10 cents. And honestly, what I learnt about him had a profound effect over me. He was like a Father Christmas to the soldiers in the Washington hospitals. He stayed with them while they were dying. He wrote letters to their family, took fresh oranges and ice cream and things they could never possibly have in the hospitals. And he worked tirelessly during the war to the detriment of his own health. When he died, he was very into phrenology, and he donated his brain to science, and a laboratory assistant dropped his brain on the floor and it had to be disposed of. So all this incredible stuff that I've been able to research about Whitman and his life and his strange family and the whole works intermingled with the American Civil War, because there's so many colourful characters in the war as well. And how he came about working as a wound dresser, he went in search of his brother George, who was shot through the cheek at Fredericksburg. And then when he saw the amputations outside the hospital tents and things, he just knew that he had to stay there and help, which is extraordinary because a few poets tried. Emerson did and went into the hospital and ran out vomiting. So it must have been an extremely difficult thing to do.
I have been very interested in Elsie Ingalls, who set up field hospitals in the First World War and followed the front for all women, and did it against the British government's wishes initially, and eventually ended up having people trained up as doctors. And after the war, the doors closed that had opened for women's education in medicine as doctors, because it was considered that after the war they should return to their natural role as homemakers. But that is an incredible story as well.
Wow.
And
Well, Louisa May Alcott was around about that time, and often Whitman would see her in the hospitals, but she became quite ill. She contracted some revolting disease and her hair fell out and it affected her spine. And
oh, that's really sad, because particularly because that amazing piece in Little Women, where Jo has her beautiful hair and gets it cut off to raise money because the family's so hard up. I think that's a bit in Little Women that I remember almost more than anything else.
And you wonder whether perhaps what happened to her may have influenced that particular passage in the book, eh?
Well, I don't know. I don't know when it would have been written in relation.
Me neither. I think she was quite young when she was...
Yeah, it maybe was.
It
that
could,
was why.
Yeah.
It was so emotionally laden, that particular bit.
Yes,
so.
Interesting. Because she was ill for the rest of her life. You can imagine how infectious these wards were. Walt Whitman used to really take a lot of time preparing himself to dress for the hospitals. He would scrub himself so that he appeared to the soldiers as so clean, beautiful clean skin, clean beard, beautiful clean clothes, because he felt that may be an uplifting thing for the soldiers to see.